Hi, everyone. Today is Wednesday, October 7th, and this is not Kevin Graney. My name is Wilmer Lambert. I'm an engineering specialist with Department 432, president of the Black Engineering Council, active member of the Hispanic Shipbuilders Association, a Core Values team contributor, and a Combat and Weapons Systems Core team member. And oh, it's my birthday. So Kevin, look at me. I'm the captain now.
Happy birthday, Wilmer.
Thanks. So for today's podcast, we're turning the tables on Kevin. So he's been here about a year at Electric Boat now. In the course of our conversation, I'll ask him to reflect over the past 12 months, how the EB team is progressing, and what it's been like to lead over the course of this very eventful year. So Kevin, welcome to your podcast. From listening to your conversation over these last months, I know you do your best to help your guests feel comfortable, so I'll try to do the same. Let's get started.
All right, Wilmer, thanks a lot. Fire away.
What a year it's been. What's your thoughts when you reflect back on what you were doing this time last year?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. I was I came in on Monday and recognized it was October 5th, and I remember thinking that was the day we christened Oregon just a year ago. So I will tell you, though, coming back to Groton and thinking about that event, it really felt like coming back home. You know, in 2006, I left EB to go to NASCO in San Diego, and that was a great opportunity for me and for my family. And then coming back was a great opportunity, and I'm proud to be back with the EB team. You know, I'll tell you what, I lived in San Diego for 14 years, and even though I was born in Buffalo, New York, my blood thinned out quite a bit. And I remember we did a Veterans Day thing shortly after I got here, and I remember going out. It was November 11th, and standing out there at 6 o'clock in the morning doing the morning colors and the things with the guys that we do to recognize Veterans Day, and it was cold, and I hadn't been that cold in a while. So by lunchtime, we did another one, and I was a little bit warmer, and I was still cold. And by the time dinner time came around and we did the afternoon session for the second shift, I looked like the kid in A Christmas Story, wrapped up in a big red snowsuit. I don't remember being that cold, and forgot how cold it can be here in an early cold snap. So that was a crisp reminder of New England weather. You know, and personally for me coming back, I think the challenge that we did not expect for me and Cheryl was just what was going to happen with COVID. We were supposed to be apart for about 6 months when we got started. She was out in San Diego and I was here, and turned out it was more like 8-9 months before we could pack up the house and get her out here. And it's not good being a geographic bachelor. So I was very happy to have her back, and she's been with me since early June, and I'm glad for it. But the world certainly changed for all of us with COVID, and I know a lot of us have had some time to adjust.
Oh, for sure. So when you started, word started to spread fairly soon that you were conducting this undercover boss walkthrough.
Fake news. That's fake news.
Throughout the shipyard, and you were out there in a hoodie and a hat, you know, different color hard hats for different groups. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, there really was no undercover boss thing going on. I learned a lot about how we perform our functions out in the shipyard by walking around, and I really enjoy seeing how ships come together. And no matter how long I've been in this business, I always learn a lot. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to meet people, see what they were doing, talk with them, I didn't make a lot of bones about who I was. You know, my hard hat had my name on it, maybe my jacket had my name on it, but there wasn't anything undercover about it. I was genuinely interested to see what people were up to.
Nice, nice. Okay, so before your cover was blown, what did he learn, and how did that inform your priorities?
You know, I think I think the key for me was recognizing that a lot of the reason I'm here is to try and help improve the organization and how we're performing as a team and getting submarines built. What I looked at, one of the first things I looked at was our safety performance. And I came from a shipyard that had better safety performance than what we had last year here at EB. So I really focused hard on safety early on. And while we can always get better, and we need to get better, I will tell you, I'm glad to see that we have dramatically improved. Our lost injury work rate since about a year ago, since the end of 2019 anyway, it was about 1.71. And where we are right now is 1.22. That's about a 25-30% reduction in our lost work injury rate. That's a huge improvement. And while we had some issues with COVID and conducting safety training and doing some of the initiatives or following through on some of the initiatives we started, we've really stepped up our safety training, and I've been talking with our supervisors, talking about how important it is we educate them with regard to what a safe work environment means. And if we do that successfully, that means they're going to replicate that environment for their people, and overall we become safer as a result.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on how we can become as efficient as possible in delivering submarines to the Navy?
Well, there's a lot we can do, and I will tell you that over the last couple of months, I've been doing some town hall type meetings with our operations supervisors, and what I tell them is a couple of things. First of all, I tell them how important their job is to our business, and how I think they have a really difficult job. What we've been working on for the organization is really trying to put the operations guys on a pedestal by getting the obstacles out of their way, getting the design done, getting the material to them on time, and getting a good plan in front of them so that they can go execute the work that is out in front of them. And they are my customer, and I tell them that in these sessions we've been conducting.
That's a good point. So you mentioned design, material, and planning. How are we doing in those three key areas?
You know, I think we're improving every day, and this has been a team effort, and I'm really proud of the way the team is rallying around that. So if you think about design, not long after I started, we had a big celebration in New London where we completed the Columbia arrangements, and now we're done. We had a couple of stragglers out there. We are 100% at this point. And what's even better than that, I think, is we've gotten the drawings that are associated with all those arrangements. We call them disclosures. We're about 83% complete on that as we speak. And if you think about that significance, that is twice as complete as any other submarine class we've ever designed in our history. And so that sets up our operations supervisor for a more complete design, and he's going to have less questions, I think, as we begin building, or she, as we begin building the Columbia class of submarines. Last October, we were completing about 105 disclosures a month. Our average rate now is about 113. We're having many fewer problems with the design tools. I think we're starting to really hit our stride. And that's for Virginia and Columbia combined. Remember, we did some design work on the VPM, as the Virginia payload module, as well as the Columbia ballistic missile submarine. Back in October 2019, our design completion percentage was about 52%, and now we're over 80%. So, you know, congratulations to the great effort by the design and engineering folks. It's been a heck of a year of improvement and progress.
Yeah, that's impressive. So what about material availability and vendor preparedness?
You know, I think that's one of the things that I've ridden the materials team pretty hard. And, you know, I've done a lot of complaining about material, and Blair Decker and his team have really answered the bell. It's been phenomenal to watch how that team has really rallied to help the rest of the yard. So at this time, we were about 3.5% material short on the Virginia program, and about 11% short on Columbia. And this year, the Virginia rate has been reduced to about 2.5%. That's about a 21% reduction. And for Columbia, we've actually cut that delinquency by about half. The shortage rate is now about 6%. So while any piece of material can really be a problem for us, the fact that there is so much less has really started the production team in a better place with the work package, having the material available when they begin. The other area that they're focused on, and I think this is something that maybe doesn't get a lot of recognition, is where we're at with vendor preparedness. And remember, our supply base is critical to our success. Blair and his team have moved about 22 critical suppliers from from a state of not being ready to now ready for future work. And that's overall, 90% of our suppliers are ready for future demand today. And what that means is that we're going to see more and more improvement in our material availability with time.
Well, that's big, having that many suppliers already prepared for future demand. How about planning? I know you've spoken at length about the importance of it to EB success. Are we seeing positive momentum in this area?
Yeah, this is the one area that I think really impacts the operations supervisors the most, and we're seeing some improvements. So one of the things that we've done is we've stood up a production control group, planners, that are helping with our operations supervisors. So we've got about 41 production control planners at Quonset Point and 35 here in Groton, and they're doing more and more work with operations. Their job is to give our supervisors more bandwidth, so our supervisors aren't out chasing material or paperwork or anything else that's getting in the way, and that gives our supervisors the opportunity to spend more time on the deck plate teaching and coaching their people so that we're more proficient and better skilled with time. So we did a podcast a couple weeks ago with Ray Gabriel, and we talked about how we need to have standardized plans for our submarines. And while the process of managing these network plans is continuous, our advanced planners right now are improving and implementing a more standardized workflow for Virginia here in Groton. And we're also focused on making Quonset Point networks more accurate. In fact, I just had a conversation with Ray on this afternoon. And that's gonna enable us a more standardized approach, improved manning forecast, and the work release process for Columbia and Virginia will be more streamlined. And one last thing, one more measure that we're moving the needle is with regard to planning, is that we've had a 65% increase in average work instruction output. So the planners are working hard to get work instructions out. While they're doing that, a 46% average reduction in the cost. So they're getting faster, and the products are getting cheaper since about October 2019, and that's great improvement.
Yeah, that's good news. And I think it helps that you're emphasizing the fundamentals of our business. Many of us work in very specialized areas of the business, and it can be challenging to lift our heads and think about how we're moving forward as Team EB. Let's switch gears and talk about how we've had to keep our business moving through COVID. We're unfortunately seeing an uptick in COVID rates in our region right now, and that's been reflected in cases going up slightly among EB employees. So managing through COVID is what we have to do for the foreseeable future.
So I think COVID's has been terrible for our country and for a lot of people. I think what it's done is it's helped draw us together as a team. We're working together to confront this thing, and that's done some, it's had some goodness in that the rest of the organization is really rallying around each other to try and help. And I think we've done a good job from a teamwork perspective, recognizing that a lot of this stuff, we're making it up as we go. Part of that is the great relationship that we've established with our union leadership and how they've really helped, our MTC, MDA, and our Carpenters Union. The leaders and the senior folks from the unions have done a great job with doing some things like some shift work over on the New London side. We've done some things with blue and gold shifts here in operations in Groton, and we've done quite a bit with working from home and using your own device from home to try and continue with the work getting done. And I think we've proven to ourselves right now that the posture we've taken and the way we've tried to protect our employees is really been beneficial. So that's been a huge change in our culture and our approach to the way we work every day. The HR folks have been absolute stalwarts in helping find new ways to provide some benefits. We introduced a new reduced work week option for some folks with children who may have some problems with school schedules. And I'm really proud of the way our medical team has answered the bell, both at Quonset Point and Groton. They've been flat out doing whatever they can, and they've been the subject of a number of different podcasts as well to try and keep people informed. We've done testing for about 10,000 of us here over the course of the last 6 months or so. And now we're continuing to do some contact tracing as employees test positive. So all of that is putting us in a better posture as, unfortunately, the increase in positive rates for COVID increase here in the in the New London area and Rhode Island as well. I would say also that the facilities folks deserve a shout out. They've been terrific, just keeping things clean and getting us the supplies that we need to stay sanitized and meet the protocols that have proven successful. So there's a lot of effort that's gone into this, but I want to point out too that individuals also have a role to play, and we've done a lot with masks. We've done some mask blitzes recently. I want everybody to stay disciplined. We need to continue to meet the protocols, washing our hands, wearing our face masks, getting our flu shots to try and minimize the virus spread in the organization, whether that's COVID or whether that's the flu. Everybody needs to continue to do your part, and we're going to stay safe as a result of that.
That's a good point. I must say the facilities team has been one of the many heroes during this COVID battle to go along with EB Medical. I thank them every time they come to the lab to sanitize the area. I have been on 2 sea trials over the past 30 days, and EB Medical has gone above and beyond to support. You know, they've been able to accommodate me on Saturdays before holidays, and last week just before midnight when I returned to get my COVID test. So together, they have really been the driving force in allowing me and the greater EB community to continue supporting the fleet. As we move into the end of the year, it seems like we have accomplished a lot, even with COVID. Are there some highlights that you'd like to share?
Yeah, there's quite a few. We've talked about a couple of them already. Some of the highlights are, we just completed an NR evaluation in August. We were very well prepared, and I think the team was energized for that evaluation. We got some feedback from our customer that demonstrates our efforts to improve our teamwork and communication are starting to make a real difference here. And while we got a lot of work ahead of us, it's nice to know from our customer's perspective that we're heading in the right direction. I'm proud of the work that we're doing in our pipe shops in Groton and Quonset. We're seeing some world-class performance, particularly with regard to first-time quality in the last, I think probably 12, maybe 13 weeks here in Groton and probably 20, 25 weeks in Quonset. That we need to continue that great work. First-time quality is creating opportunity for us. Our NRMD folks had done a great job on USS Hartford recently. We did a very complex radiological maintenance evolution. It doesn't happen very often, and we were under a lot of scrutiny for that. It went exceedingly well, and I know when I toured the facility, the thing I saw was great morale, I saw great teamwork, and I saw just a can-do spirit for our folks over at the NRMD, so that was great to watch. We also completed the full power heat run on our main propulsion motor at the Columbia Test Facility in Philadelphia. That's a huge risk reduction for the Columbia program, really, really important. And again, I saw a great team really poised and really focused on formal watch standing and just a real can-do attitude. You know, we did something we haven't done in a long time just here in Groton last month on Rickover. So we did 2 simultaneous hull butts on that ship. The last time we did that was about 10 years ago, and the ship achieved pressure hull complete on September 8th because of that great effort. You know, we did a VPM tube finally arrived from BAE in Louisville, Kentucky. And I'll tell you, there's a story there just briefly, and that is that I was in Louisville watching our people, so about 20 of our welders at BAE, teaching the guys at BAE how to weld, how to do training, and fixing a lot of the problems with some of the early work that they had done. And I'll tell you, great attitude. I saw young people. I saw older people training our younger people. Great attitude, and those guys really drove it to the point where we got our first VPM tube up at Quonset in late August, and the second tube is just recently arrived. So we're off and running because of the great work that we're doing helping our vendor base. on the Columbia program, we've got two fully outfitted tubes now in the E fixture, on its way to become the first quad pack for the Columbia lead ship. We're moving there. And if you think about our progress on Columbia, we've got about 40% of the pressure hull now complete, and about 70% of the ship's major decks are already under construction. So looking at the big picture, we're about 5% complete as we begin official construction start in the coming weeks. And for perspective, you know, that's more than 20 times the amount of work that we did in labor hours than what we did with the lead ship on the Virginia prior to construction start. This morning I had the opportunity to tour our Groton South Yard Assembly Building, which is the centerpiece of the investment here in Groton for Columbia, about $850 million going into that project. And that is on track, on schedule, and will support the program. So, you know, I think as you look around all the different aspects of the yard, there's so much going on. And I think, you know, Nick Shabria, our former CEO, was here back in August, and he said, hey, looks like you guys are on the turn. And I agree with that. I think we are on the turn. We're starting to build some momentum. We're getting confidence in ourselves. I think we're winning the confidence of our customer. And we're staying true to our core values, valuing each other, acting with integrity and purpose, and committing to excellence as we do all that. So, you know, I used to sail in submarines, and I could think of no greater purpose than bringing our sailors the ships they need to keep this country safe. So I'm incredibly proud of the work that we're doing here, and incredibly proud of the people I get to come to work with every day. So I'm going to continue to do my job. My job is to treat everybody who's an employee here as my customer, and I'm going to remove those obstacles to make you guys as successful as I can make you.
Yeah, appreciate that, Kevin. Well, I really enjoyed hosting your podcast today. I appreciate you taking the time to answer my questions and concerns. Thank you for showing that you care and are committed to the employee safety and improving the overall culture here at EB. I appreciate your communication with the podcast, but also the time that you have taken to listen to employees. The fact that you have different guests on the shows, that you really want the communication to go both ways, and it carries off the podcast as well. With everything happening right now with COVID and the social unrest, many of us are talking about and thinking about the future of this country, of this company, and our families, and what the next generation will inherit. I believe that although there is still a lot of work to be done, we as a company are headed in the right direction, thanks to everyone under your leadership being committed to the values and vision of EB. To our faithful listeners, thanks for joining me today. Signing off, I'm Wilmer Lambert with special guest EB President Kevin Graney. Stay warm, stay safe, and if you're stopping by the 4th annual HSA Luncheon to cap off Hispanic Heritage Month, I'll see you there. Have a great day.